Today we're going to be in Romans 12. We finally made it to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 today. Before I get started, though, while you're turning there, I just want to tell you a story. It's kind of a joke, so Daniel, you might want to memorize this one because I think it's pretty good. It's a farmer and his family who lived out west their entire lives. They hadn't gone to the city at all because they hadn't needed to up to this point. But one day, he was looking over his accounts and he saw that there was a banking error. And so to correct the error, he had to go into town. So he loaded up his family into the car and they all drove into town. They pulled up outside the massive bank building. And he says, "Wait here while I go in and take care of this." And his son says, "Dad, I want to go with you. I've never been into a building like this. I just want to see it." So he says, "All right, come on, the rest of you stay here, and me and Johnny are going to go in and take care of this problem." So they walk up to the door, and it's an automatic door, and it just flies open as they stand in front of it. And well, Johnny says, "Dad, did you see that? That door just flew right open by itself." His dad says, "Yep." He said, "It's not a surprise, the kind of things they have here in the city." And so they go to the clerk, and they ask him where they go to meet this guy to get the correction fixed, and he points to the elevator. Well, they'd never seen an elevator before, so they just go stand in front of the doors and kind of sit there for a minute and not sure what's going on. And all of a sudden, the door opens, and this old woman walks in. It closes. And a few minutes later, it opens again, and this young woman walks out, very attractive young woman. So the farmer looks at Johnny, and he says, "Quick, go get your mother." Was that a good one, Daniel? Did I get it? I like this joke because it kind of deals with what we're talking about today. It deals with transformation. And I think too often we are concerned with outward transformation. When we become Christians, we're worried about cleaning up the outside. We want to clean up our act. We want to look like Christians. I'm a child of the 80s, and so of course I'm a huge Transformers fan. How many other Transformers fans out here? Come on. Come on. Well, I used to watch the cartoon growing up, and it was on every Saturday morning, and I'd get my cereal and eat that while I watched Transformers. And then when I found out they were making movies, I got really excited. I'm a nerd, so I really like stuff like that. And so I've seen the movie so far, and I can't wait till the new one comes out. I'm gonna check that one out too. But the tagline for the old Transformers cartoon was "Robots in Disguise." And while I really enjoyed the cartoon, I have to say that that's bad theology. We can't call something in disguise transformed. And I think that a lot of us buy into that definition of transformation. We wear masks to put on the image of being transformed, when in reality, all we're doing is we're disguising ourselves. We're disguising our true nature because we're worried about the outward appearance rather than what's inside coming out. And this is what Paul wants to deal with today in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Greek word for transformed is metamorpho, which literally means to change into another form. And this is where we get the word metamorphosis, which is used to describe the change that a butterfly takes when it goes from a caterpillar into the chrysalis and finally comes out as a butterfly, a completely new creation. And so if you're ready, we'll read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, as soon as my little device gets there. Somebody told me a while back, I don't remember who it was, that they just didn't know about me preaching from this computer rather than the Bible. But I probably have more versions of the Bible on here than you have in your bookshelf at home. So bear with me while I make it work. All right, here we go. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Today I want to look at the difference between what Paul talks about, transformation, and our kind of messed up definition of putting on a disguise. So first, let's start with the very first word that Paul uses, "therefore." And a professor of mine always used to tell me, when you come across the word "therefore" in the Bible, you have to ask yourself, what's it there for? I think that's a good question. It's a good place to start. Apparently, Paul's about to say something really important. This is kind of the culmination of everything that we've talked about for the last 21 sermons, because this is sermon number 22 in the book of Romans. All the things that we've heard from Paul to this point climax here. He's saying, everything that I've told you from this point, the reason that I've gone through the history of the Jews rejecting Jesus as their Savior, the reason that I talked about how we all fall short, the reason that I've told you all of these things, I'm about to reveal it to you now. Listen, it's important. He says, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And the two words that stand out there are holy and pleasing. If I'm disguised, I might offer excuses for why I'm not holy and pleasing to God. Rather than just saying, this is what God wants, this is what I'm going to work for, I'm going to let Jesus work on me from the inside out so that when I present myself to God, I can be holy and pleasing. Rather than saying that, because that's hard, we make excuses for ourselves. We say things like, well, I'm only a sinner. I'm only human. God expects me to mess up. These are cop-outs. And Christians use these excuses every day when we fall short. When we start playing around with the handcuffs and lock ourselves up, we say, well, that was to be expected. I'm just a sinner. I'm only human. But Paul's not letting us off the hook there. He's not saying offer yourselves holy and pleasing to God unless you feel like, you know, you're not up to that. Then you can, here's another way to do it. This is the only way. This is the only way to present yourself as a sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing. If I'm transformed, then I'm not concerned with excuses. If I'm allowing Christ to work within me, to start on the inside and work outward, I'm not worried about excuses. Do I expect that I'm probably going to fall from time to time? Sure. But that's not going to be on the forefront of my mind. And when I do fall, I'm not going to look quickly to make an excuse. I think I've used this quote a few times, but it really, truly reminds me of Brother Lawrence when he says, you know, there's times where I forget to think about God in a day. And as soon as I realize that I've forgotten, I come running back to Him. That's what God wants. He doesn't want us to make excuses. He wants us to realize, man, look how far I've wandered. I better get back. Don't even waste time, waste breath on making an excuse. Just run back to the Father and ask Him to continue that work in your life. God has called us and enabled us through Christ to be holy and pleasing. Because through Christ we're alive, we're not dead. We become saints when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So to use the word sinner to describe ourselves after we've accepted Jesus Christ is not true. Because once Jesus is our Savior, we become saints. We're born again, we become new creations. We don't become clean versions of the old us. It's not like we jump into the Christian shower and jump out squeaky clean. We become brand new. Brand new from the inside out, completely born again. Probably the greatest miracle in the Bible was the incarnation, when God poured Himself into a tiny baby's body. And that baby grew up into a man. And all this time, if you looked at the outside, it was just a man. But on the inside, there was divine nature, an almighty God, the power that created the universe. And then one day, Jesus is up on a mountain with some of His disciples, and He decides to let the divine nature shine through. He begins to glow. His face lights up, and even His clothes shine like the sun. The word that the Bible used to describe this account in Matthew 17:1-5, is transfiguration. The transfiguration of Christ. Jesus was transfigured before them. He allowed His inner nature, the divine nature that was inside, to be seen outwardly. This is the same word that Paul uses in Romans 12 when he calls us to be transformed. He wants us to let the inner divine nature be seen. Not to act nice, not to watch what we say, not to use Christian words to look like Christians, but to allow Christ from the inside to shine through us, to be transformed. Paul says, don't conform to the world. Don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world. To conform to a pattern is the definition of what it means to wear a disguise. Think about a chameleon. They conform to their surroundings. They change physical color so that they can fit in with whatever's going on around them. Paul warns against this, and yet we do it every day. We are so worried about fitting in here or there or otherwise that we have so many different masks that we wear. We're not transformed, we're just disguised. Some of us have our church disguise on today. You might leave here and go home and put on your family disguise. On Tuesday, when you go back to work after the holiday, you might have your work disguise. There might be certain groups of friends that you have to wear different disguises around to fit in with better. This is not transformed. This is disguise. We're just wearing masks. Paul says, don't conform anymore. Don't do this anymore. It's not healthy. It doesn't allow growth in your life. It doesn't allow Jesus to change you from the inside out. The enemy wants you to desire to fit in. The enemy wants that to be your number one goal, to fit in wherever you might be. This is not God's desire. The enemy wants you to be like someone. When you were in school, maybe you wanted to be like that popular kid, and so you bought the same shoes as them. Maybe you want to be like that successful person at your job, and so you try to act like them and talk like them. Maybe you want to be like your friend, and so you act like them and do the same things that they do. This is conforming, not transforming. In middle school, I was really concerned about fitting in. And I did a lot of things that I regret because I wanted to fit in. And it didn't matter what other people thought outside of my life, because all I was worried about was fitting in with this group of people that were accepting me for doing the things that they did. Things like shoplifting, things like smoking cigarettes, things like cussing, things like, you know, making fun of teachers and being the class clown, those kinds of things that, you know, were kind of small and weren't going to ever get me arrested, but were bad, and I knew they were wrong. Well, before long, I got this reputation that I would do things. And it got back to my mom. And she was really disappointed. And she said that she couldn't understand how my desire to be accepted was above my desire to show respect to myself and to her. And as I stand here today, I think, don't we do the same thing to God? Our desire to fit in here or there or otherwise takes priority above our desire to be pleasing to God, to respect and love God for the things that He wants us to do. We put ourselves first, we put others second, and God's third on the list. This is not transforming. This is wearing a disguise. When we become more concerned about the image we portray than the consequences of our actions, it becomes more grave than simply disappointing to God. There's bigger consequences than just being a disappointment. God's not going to sit down like my mom did and have a talk with us and tell us, you know, how this hurt His feelings. There are bigger consequences for not living the path that God has for you. And they're lined out in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, when Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" See, there's going to be a time where some of us who have called ourselves Christians stand before the judge, and we're going to say, "God, I went to church. I read my Bible. I went to Bible study. I went on that mission trip. I gave to the Cuba basket that's out in the foyer. Sent my kids to VBS. Don't you know me?" He's going to say, "I never knew you." Because we're more concerned about fitting in, about conforming, about looking like a Christian than we are about actually being like Christ. In the middle of verse 2, Paul says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So now he's getting into telling us how to be transformed. He says, don't be like the world. This is how you do it. Our mind controls our body. Our mind is kind of like the cockpit of our body. We think it, our bodies do it. And so he wants us to give over the piece of our bodies that control us, our minds. He wants it to be renewed. So the same bodies that we offer as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, are controlled by this. A lot of people get fearful here. They get uncomfortable here. Because it calls us to give up control. We're fine with going through motions. We're fine with doing things that are maybe a burden to our schedules. We're fine with giving some money to the church. We're fine with little things like that. But when it comes to giving up our control in life, this is where a lot of us tend to draw the line. And yet this is the first step in being transformed. We tend to be much happier with having $3 worth of God, as Tim Hansel puts it. He writes, "I would like to buy $3 worth of God. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a black man or a gay person or to pick beets with a migrant worker. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please." Now, when I put it like that, it sounds rather disturbing, doesn't it? And that this is how many of us live our lives. We live our lives in such a way where we're cool with what God wants until it's uncomfortable. Until it causes us to sacrifice something. Until it causes us not to be in the driver's seat anymore. And then we're not willing to take that step. And we think, I'm only a sinner. God is going to forgive me. The idea of transformation scares us because we know that such a complete change would be quite uncomfortable. We realize that with transformation comes a major overhaul of our lives and our priorities. If we allow God to transform us, some of the things that are very important to us right now might end up having to take the bottom of the list. Some of the things that we really like to do might be things that God's calling us to give up. It's uncomfortable. It's scary. And yet this is what has to be done in order for God to transform you and offer you a John 10:10 life, an abundant life. You might think life is good now, but if you give up control to Jesus, man, I can't even put into words how great it would be. The joy and the peace that surpass understanding. So what does a renewed mind look like? If we take this step, if we allow Jesus to transform us from the inside out, if we are willing to get a little uncomfortable and a little messy, what will our minds look like after that? A renewed mind. A renewed mind is free from ungodly habits and patterns of behavior. It says, "I don't want to do the same things that I know displease God over and over again." It stops giving into the lifestyle of the world. It's changed into something that honors and glorifies God. It does the right thing for the right reason, not because it's expected. It lives for others out of love instead of out of obligation. It serves God out of thanksgiving instead of religious duty. It's a mind released of guilt. It's a mind that leads the body to live in a constant act of worship. Everywhere, all the time. Sound like something that you might want? And so then we ask, how do we get a renewed mind? Yes, I'm ready. Yes, I want that. How do I get there? Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." It comes down to what we expose ourselves to, what we allow to affect us, what we allow to transform us. There's a really simple and easy saying that carries a lot of truth with it, and it's what you put in is what comes out. What do you spend the most time engaging? Do you sit in front of the TV for hours? Do you read magazines? Do you listen to music that doesn't maybe have the best message? Are your conversations wholesome and pure? Are you spending time with God in prayer and in Scripture? When you gather with others for fellowship, is Christ the center? Even if he's not the point of the conversation, are you aware of his presence? As we spend more time exposed to the Word of God, we learn to think like God thinks. Our thought patterns are reprogrammed from the old way to the new way. Our minds begin to be transformed. As a result, our response to temptations, to our environment, and to the evil around us change. We no longer give in to them. We no longer desire to look like the world. We are breaking away from the old. We are being born again. Too often, we're pretty cool with just remaining caterpillars. Because we don't know what goes on inside that cocoon. Sometimes it's pretty painful for some people. You have to deal with some things that you haven't really planned on dealing with, you don't really want to deal with. It's a life-changing process. A mind cannot be renewed on a starvation diet. Which means if you're only being fed on Sunday morning, your mind cannot be renewed. If you're only being fed at Bible study once a week, your mind's not being renewed. You have to constantly be in communion with God to live a life of praying without ceasing, as Paul would say. A mind cannot be renewed on junk food. We can't expect to watch garbage television and read garbage in magazines and listen to garbage on the radio and look at garbage on the internet and expect to look like Christ when we get done. It doesn't add up. The math isn't good. I shared with my group on Wednesday night that this was a message that I've been chomping at the bit to give for a long time because Romans 12 is a very pivotal scripture in my life. This is one of the very first scriptures that I really studied and grabbed onto when I first accepted Jesus Christ. And it really was a powerful, life-changing moment in my life, and I still hold true to it. And I don't encourage you, out of this scripture, to come to church on Sunday, to read your Bible, to pray. I don't encourage those things because it's in my job description. I don't tell you to invite people to church and to partake in fellowship and to pursue a life deeper in Christ because the attendance of the church means something to me. I do it because I care about you. I do it because I know what it's done in my life, and I know what it's done in people around me's lives. The difference between being disguised and being transformed is night and day, and I wore a disguise for a while. But when I finally let God come in and just start cleaning house, man, it's like I saw for the first time. Your priorities do begin to change. And you start to see the world a little bit differently. So I don't care about fulfilling something that I was given that says this is what a pastor's supposed to do. And I don't care what the number on the sheet of attendance says. I care about you. I care about you experiencing abundant life, the kind of life that Jesus wants you to have. That's why I talk about this stuff. So what are the results? What does this look like? We engage all these things. What are the results of transformation? One of the questions that I get asked more than any other question is, how do I know what God wants for me? What is God's will for my life? Well, read the end of Romans 12:2. Paul says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we allow ourselves to be transformed from the inside out. We engage in the with God life. We give up what he calls us to give up. We start doing the things he's calling us to do, and the result is his will becomes our will. We understand what he wants from our lives. Maybe not a blueprint or a map that says do these five things tomorrow, but we have his peace, his guidance, When we're in the will of God, we just feel it. It's like being in that pocket, in that good place. So even if we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, we're not even thinking about it. Because we have that unexplainable peace that we're right where God wants us. So I've been waiting 42 weeks to preach this sermon. I counted. But God wanted me to wait. He had a plan in my waiting. Because these words are heavy words. These words are challenging words. And he wanted to build a foundation to lay these words on. I could have given you this sermon week one, day one. But God wanted to create relationship. He wanted to nurture love between us. So that when I did share these words, that they were more than intellectual, that they were from my heart. And I can honestly say this morning that they're from my heart. I desire to see each and every one of you have abundant life. To live the lives that God is calling you to live. To be the people that he created you to be. And those weren't people that wore masks. Those aren't people that are conformed or disguised. He wants you to be free to share his love, to look like him, to talk like him, to be his hands and feet. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote, For the last few decades, the churches of the Western world have not made discipleship, which is the process of transformation, a condition of being a Christian. One is not required to be, or to intend to be, a disciple in order to become a Christian. And one may remain a Christian without any signs of progress towards discipleship. This morning, I just want to say that our meeting cannot fall into this category. This group of people, called Bangor Liberty Friends Church, the communities that we serve, cannot be okay with just having fire insurance. With kneeling down and saying a prayer and expecting to go to heaven without any other effort on our part. That is the lie of the devil. God wants to change us from the inside out, and the only way that can happen is to have a lasting relationship with Jesus Christ each and every day. And if we do that, if we're committed to that, if we're committed to encourage each other in that and to challenge each other in the growth process, to check on how you're doing outside of how's work going, but to really ask, how's your walk with God this week? To keep each other accountable, if we are dedicated to that, we will see fruit that we've never even dreamed of. God will use this people in a mighty way. We might see revival break out in the middle of Iowa. But that's not what it's about. It's about letting God do what he will and trusting that it's the right thing. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these last 42 weeks and for the many, many weeks and months and years ahead. Lord, I'm excited to journey with these people. Lord, I love these people. And I thank you that you have us each where you have us. Lord, I know you have a plan and a purpose for my life and for each person here and for us as a group. And Lord, that plan and that purpose starts with us giving over control to you, allowing you to transform us from the inside out, to renew our minds so that we can think and act and talk as you would think and act and talk. Lord, help us to step outside of that comfort zone. Help us to get our hands and feet dirty, to feel our hearts beating faster because we don't know what's going to happen next, but to trust you in all things. Help us to get past a desire to fit in. Help us to get past a need to look or act or talk like someone else. Lord, may you be our model. May you be our goal. May we strive to look more like you each day. And Lord, there's going to be things along the road that you're going to call us to, either to do or not to do. Lord, I pray for a spirit of obedience in each of our hearts, that no matter how hard it is to stop doing something or to start doing another thing, that we might just say, yes, Lord, and trust that you will give us the strength along the way. Lord, most of all, I pray that this church doesn't become a church of fire insurance, where we look to have people say a prayer and then leave them in the dust. But Lord, that we take discipleship seriously. You call us to make disciples, not converts. Lord, I'm excited about where you're leading. I'm eager to let you lead. And I'm anxious to follow. Thank you for the work that you're doing here and for who you are in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.